Before we open God's word, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal, righteous, loving Heavenly Father, we again assemble ourselves here together in this thine house in this day to look into thy word. Lord, thy word is most precious to us. We hold it dear in our lives, knowing that it is life, and it is thy will for us. It is thy word. Thou hast inspired men of old to write these words, and we receive it as such. And we pray, O God, that we would have hearts that would be open and that we would readily absorb and write thy word indelibly in our hearts that we might keep it with us. And so we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with us this afternoon, for we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and read from chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 37. John 12, 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. May God. Last Sunday, as we read through the scriptures, one of the verses that stood out to me was that when Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, came to the disciples and told them that the Lord was risen, their response was that their words, the women's words, seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I'm sure we've all read that before, and it's simply profound to think that this is where the disciples were at this time. This is where their mindset was, that when the word came that Jesus was risen, that it just seemed like idle tales. It just seemed like, oh, no, that can't be true. And they believed them not. And yet Jesus, when we read in the book of Matthew, both in chapter 16 and in chapter 20, he's telling his disciples, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be chastised by the chief priests, and I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day I'll be resurrected, I'll be risen. He told them that on two occasions. And then here came the women and told the disciples, he is risen. and they believed them not. They thought it was idle tales. And it's just profound that the level of unbelief that was there, the level of unbelief that was there. And in Mark's gospel, we see that Jesus upbraided them. He scolded them because of their unbelief, because they didn't believe the testimony that came and told them the truth that Jesus was in fact risen. And it says that they believed them not. And so Jesus scolded them. He upbraided them for their lack of belief. Jesus places a lot of emphasis on belief in him and the life that we can have, eternal life that we can have through our belief, through our faith in him. Earlier in this Gospel of John, chapter 3, the last verse says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Just very simple. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. "And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." This is the truth that the Bible here is conveying, that Jesus was conveying, that if we have belief, if we have faith, that we have eternal life. And yet if we do not believe, we do not have eternal life abiding in us, but the wrath of God abides with us. This is the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ, through his word, and is bringing out. This is the emphasis of believing. In Mark's gospel, the last verses there before Jesus ascended, as Mark recorded them, Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These are the words of Jesus Christ. We can be saved. We can have eternal life through faith, through belief in him. To know these things are true that are recorded here in the Gospels and throughout the Scriptures. This is truth. And if we believe it, we will have eternal life. And yet if we do not believe it, if we count them to be as idle tales, the wrath of God abides on us. We are condemned. We are living in darkness. And so therefore the Scriptures speak of this. And so the first verse then that we read this afternoon here in John's Gospel of 12, chapter 12, we read that, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." He did all these miracles. He was a good, righteous man. And he did all these miracles. Miracles that that many were testifying, "We've never seen this before." Such as the man that was born blind. That this has never happened before. That someone would be able to heal blindness. And he had done these miracles of healing those that were blind, of making those who were lame to walk, of bringing Jairus' daughter back to life again, of bringing Lazarus back to life again. In fact, if we go to the previous chapter, that's when it happened. That Jesus just simply brought forth a few words, "Lazarus, come forth," and life was given from death unto life. These miracles were done before them. They had seen them. If they had not seen them, they certainly had heard of them. They had heard of Jesus of Nazareth, who was in Capernaum and throughout Galilee and throughout Judea. And they had heard of the many miracles that he had done. Even Herod did. When he said, "Oh, this is that Jesus? Oh, I hope to see a miracle done by him." They had seen all the miracles. And yet it says here, though they had seen so many miracles, yet they believed not on him. They abode in unbelief. And the Scriptures say that since they are abiding in unbelief, that they are in darkness. They are in darkness. They are in condemnation. And the wrath of God abides on them. So it's in reference, there's reference given here to the prophecy of Isaiah as he would make these prophecies of, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And it says, "Therefore they could not believe." They could not believe it. Why is it that they could not believe? Well, Jesus says it here in this reading that we had in verse number 48. He says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. They rejected Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and others had rejected Jesus Christ, and they received not his words. They didn't believe. They didn't come to that truth that this is, in fact, the Messiah. This is the Christ, the anointed one. They didn't come to that faith. They didn't come to that belief. And so, therefore, they could not believe because they rejected Jesus Christ and they received not his words. The words that came from God, the Father who gave them to Jesus, and Jesus spoke them forth to the people. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, and nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Because they were rejecting Jesus Christ. Because they received not his received him not. Their heart hardened. It became as though it couldn't absorb any of the truth of Jesus Christ. And their eyes were blinded, that they could not see that Jesus Christ has done all these miracles. Jesus Christ has done all these good things. And so therefore they could not be converted, nor could they be healed. It says, now conversely, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, even of the chief rulers. So there was Nicodemus and there were others who believed on Jesus. They believed on him. And it says many of them did. They believed. Others didn't believe. Though they saw the miracles, they didn't believe. But among the chief rulers, many did believe on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that was evident. That was truth. Even as Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Or as the parents of him that was born blind, they didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue, so they said to the Pharisees and to the chief rulers, well, he is of age, ask him. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. This is how it was. And it was known of them. It was known of them that they were in the marketplaces and loved to be called rabbi, and for others to see that, or that they loved to, and they did all the things that they did, what they did it for to be seen of men. And broadening their phylacteries and those types of things. They did all that to be seen of men, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Their hearts were not softened. Their hearts were not humbled to think that the eternal God, loved them so much that he sent his only begotten Son to them. And so this is now toward the end of the Lord's ministry here upon this earth. And so he's crying out and earnestly saying unto the people, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he had told them that God was his Father. And so he's telling them, when you're believing on me, you're not really believing on me, but you're believing on the Father. You're believing on him who has sent me. Your belief that gives you eternal life is in he who can do all things, and in him who is eternal. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. So if we go to chapter 14, Philip comes to Jesus and says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus' response to Philip was, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? And so Jesus Christ here is also saying those same words here as well. He that seeth me hath seen seeth the Father, seeth him that sent me. Jesus was doing these miracles, and he's proclaiming to them who he was. And if we go earlier in this chapter, Jesus is speaking to the people. And he tells them that he must die. And he's saying, Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. And then he says, Father, glorify thy name. And then there comes a voice out of heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people that stood round about said, it thundered, or that an angel spake unto him. And Jesus says, this voice came not for my sake, but it came for your sake. That you would believe, that you would believe, that you would see these signs, these miracles, and that you would come to believe. He that seeth me, Jesus says, seeth him that sent me. And then he says a key verse here. I am come a light into this world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. This is why Jesus came, as a light into this world, to save the world. And that as we would believe in him, that he is truly the Son of God, and that he came forth to speak the words of God the Father to all mankind, that we no longer then have to abide in darkness. He's come a light. He spoke of him being a light, even previous to where we picked up in verse number 35. He says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. He's saying that there's darkness in this world. Come to the light. Come to the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is light, and he came to expose the darkness and the evil that is in this world. And he's calling us, come out of that darkness. Come out of that power of darkness and into the Lord's marvelous light. He calls us thereto, and he wants to give us life. He wants to give us light, that we would not stumble in this darkness. So when we think of darkness and light, we think of a day such as today, beautiful, full sun. It's glorious. We so much like it. But yet on a very cloudy day, I believe it was a week ago yesterday, it was just a cloudy, thick cloud Saturday. And it just drains you of energy. There's no desire to do a lot of things. There's just, you're not filled with the energy that the sun gives. That's in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, it's even on multiple layers higher of that truth. That in darkness, we feel that we are in that bondage. We feel that spiritual bondage when we are in darkness, but when we're illuminated with Jesus Christ, and when we walk in his ways, and when we follow him, when we have given up our lives and live for him, it's a glorious state. It's a glorious state to walk in his light. And so he's saying, come out of darkness. Come out of darkness. So let's speak quickly of those things which are darkness, spiritual darkness. Galatians chapter 5 says, now the works of the manifest of the flesh are manifest, which are these. This is darkness. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Meaning if it's not contained here in this list, but it's such like, it's as these things, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit eternal life, shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus Christ came to save us from. And if those who abide in these ways, they will be cast, as Jesus Christ says, into outer darkness. Outer darkness. And Jesus says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth of those who live in this spiritual darkness. When we think of someone who's weeping, your heart just goes out to them. For the sorrow that they're feeling when they're just weeping. And I've never seen anyone in such a state where they're gnashing their teeth, where it's just so horrible that they're doing this to themselves. But Jesus says, don't abide in that darkness. Come to the light. But if you abide in that darkness, you'll be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said, if our eye is evil, then our whole body is filled with darkness. He's calling us from that darkness. He's calling us from a life of sin. So we might think that, well, I'm not involved in drunkenness. I'm not involved in reveling and partying, and I'm not living an immoral life of fornication and those types of things. But if we don't yield our life to the Lord in fullness, we are yet in darkness. And there is condemnation that we have if we abide in that darkness. Jesus says in chapter 3, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Jesus Christ has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why did men love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil, and therefore they loved darkness rather than light. And so there's this condemnation for them who abide in darkness, who will not yield themselves to the Lord, who will not come to that saving faith, who will not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is God's love for us, that he died upon a cross, that was the manifestation of the love of God, as we heard this morning. And so it is that Jesus Christ has come, that we should not abide in darkness, but that we would come to this light of the world. He was calling us to faith. He's calling us to believe, that we would not be as those who, though Jesus has done so many miracles, yet they believe not on him. Jesus is calling us to faith. He wants us to believe in him. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is God's love. This is his love for all mankind. God sent the only one who could save us from our sin. God sent his Son into the world, but not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Isn't that such a beautiful thought? That when we believe on Jesus Christ, we are not condemned. To think that when one is condemned, that it's a horrible thought, that the judge proclaims that we are guilty and that there is a sentence given to us and we are condemned. But when we believe on Jesus, we are not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is what we are being called to. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in him. If we believe in him, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus also said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Believing equates with eternal life. Jesus is saying this over and over. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus was not just a good man, but he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, and he was perfect. And so Jesus tells the people, he says, which of you convinceth me of sin? Who can say, well, you did this, and that wasn't right, so you're guilty of that sin? And Jesus is saying, which of you convinceth me of sin? Who can say that I have done something wrong? And then he says, and if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Jesus is saying, if I am perfect, which I am, and I've told you the truth, why will you not believe? Why will you not believe? I told you the truth, and I'm one who is perfect. I told you that God is my Father, and I'm here to bring you life. Why will you not believe? Why will you not believe? At the time when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, Martha was in sorrow, and And Jesus responds to her and says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he poses the question to Martha, and he poses the question to us. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? That when you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is in fact the Son of God, that he is eternal, that he came here upon this earth, that he became that supreme sacrifice for you, that you would not have to die, and that he rose from the dead, if we believe this, that we will never die, that our soul will live on forever and forever. Do we believe this? Do we believe this? Or are we as those who had seen all the miracles of Jesus and yet didn't believe? Though we have come to church our whole life, will we yet not believe? Will we yet not believe? Jesus says, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Jesus knew that. There was nothing of doubt in Jesus about the words of God the Father. And he says, I know his commandment is life everlasting. His commandment is life everlasting. Are we to not abide in light and believe these words and know that the Lord had brought forth commandments which give eternal life? So what are the commandments that give eternal life? One, Jesus says, repent. Repent. Turn from your sin and walk in newness of life. Jesus says, lay up your treasures in heaven above and not here upon this earth. Don't be covetous. Don't be covetous. Don't desire the things of this world. A man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Lay up yourselves treasures in heaven above. This is the commandment of the Lord. This is what he's calling us to. And this is what gives us eternal life. And then another commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ is deny yourself. Deny yourself. And take up your cross daily. Every day, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Walk in the light. Walk in the light of Jesus Christ. The commandment of Jesus Christ is that we should forgive. The commandment of Jesus Christ is that we should be merciful one to another, as he is merciful, as he has forgiven us. The commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. This is the commandment of the Lord. This gives eternal life. And of course, the greatest commandment, that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. This is life eternal. This is life eternal. This is what we are being called to. God is love, and he manifested his love in the giving of his Son. And he calls us to love him in return, that we would love him with our all. That we would love him with our all. That there would be nothing reserved yet in our hearts for a little bit of me. And that we would also then be loving our neighbor as ourself. So many of the commandments of the Lord are relationship driven. When we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. When we are merciful one to another, when we forgive one another, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, all these things are relationship items, relationship things. And the Lord is calling us to be as he was, to be forgiving, to be merciful, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That we would love him as he has loved us. Do we believe Jesus Christ, of who he is? Do we believe his words, that they are life-giving, that we could have eternal life through the keeping of his word? The Apostle John writes in this gospel, he says that many other signs did Jesus truly in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. They're not written here. The people had heard of the many miracles that Jesus did, but perhaps they didn't see them all or they didn't hear them all. But these are written that ye might believe, that ye might come to this saving faith, that you might come to this truth, that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. We become the sons and the daughters of God by our faith in him, by believing in him, by fulfilling the commands that he has given unto us, by living in his will. Do we believe? The question comes now to us is, do we believe that Jesus is the Christ and that his words give eternal life? Amen.
Jesus, in this chapter, speaks of the judgment. And I believe that's a topic that can at times strike fear into our hearts because we don't know what death is like. We don't know what the judgment will be like. And because of that, we can have fear. The unknown is at times fearful to us. But there should be no fear in us of the judgment if we believe in God's Son, the Son whom he has sent. Jesus speaks in verse 48, says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Jesus' words that he is speaking, that is what's going to judge us. Our response to the words that Jesus is speaking will either save us or condemn us. And just a few chapters earlier, in John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 reads, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So we can at times fear is if what we are doing is enough. Will God find us worthy? Will God be pleased with our service? We can have that fear, but that's not what God's calling us to. He's calling us to a belief, a trust in him, a belief in the Son, his only begotten Son whom he has sent. Our response to that will determine where we spend our eternity. So yes, God will judge us, but we are also really judging ourselves. We are choosing what we want. We are choosing where we want to spend our eternity. There will be no surprises on the judgment day. We will know what we have chosen. Will we choose to live for him on this earth, or will we choose to please ourselves? That will determine our eternity. I think of what the brother mentioned in his prayer about those who are successfully rejecting Jesus. And really, there's no such thing as successfully rejecting him. All you're doing is successfully choosing condemnation. There's no successful rejection of him. No rejection of God's Son can lead to any type of success, really. Hebrews chapter 1 says that God spake in times past unto the prophets, but in these last times that we live in, he has spoken unto us through his Son, his only begotten Son. Rejecting, successfully rejecting him just means successfully condemning ourselves. Jesus is giving unto us life, not because we deserved it, but because he loves us. And our response to his words, again, will determine where we spend our eternity. May we, each and every one of us, in this day, in each and every day, choose life and that everlasting with him. That is God's desire. May God bless his word in our hearts in this day. Amen.